This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Saddam Hussein charged that the United States invaded to grab it. President Bush says it belongs to the Iraqi people. Now that the fighting has calmed, attention turns to the elephant in the war room, Iraq's immense deposits of oil. The reserves are estimated to be second only to Saudi Arabia's, but 12 years of sanctions left pipelines, wellheads, pumping stations, and refineries in disrepair, and the vacuum of power in Baghdad opens up the question of who will manage the oil industry now. And that is just the first question. How much oil is there? Estimates of Iraqi reserves range from 70 to 300 billion barrels. How much can Iraq produce? How soon? And can Iraq sell enough of it to pay for its own reconstruction? And what's the likely effect on OPEC, on the global market, and on the price of filling up at your local gas station? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is TOTN@NPR.org. First, though, we want to get an update on today's conference of Iraqi leaders at the Talil Air Base in Nasiriyah, that's south of Baghdad. NPR's Mike Schuster was covering the conference. Mike joins us now. Good to talk to you.
Hi, Neil.
What is the headline to come out of this conference?
Well, I suppose if there is a headline, it probably was uttered by the retired General Jay Garner, who opened the meeting and who will be the U.S. Provisional or interim civil administrator until a new Iraqi government is actually elected and formed. And he said today the democratic Iraq begins and today the free Iraq begins. This was the first meeting of probably many such meetings. They will grow larger and more complex as the United States helps Iraqis form a new government over the course of at least the next year.
Tell us, on the Iraqi side, who was there and perhaps more importantly, who was not?
Well, we don't know all the names, Neil. There were about 80 representatives, and the United States said that half of them were from within Iraq and half were from opposition groups that had been based abroad and many opposition figures that had left Iraq over the course of the last few decades. So we know that it's half and half. We know that some of the most prominent Iraqi opposition groups were represented. We know that there were Sunnis and Shia Muslims from different parts of the country, and we know that there were Kurds. We also know that at least one prominent Iraqi opposition group, which is based in Iran, did not come. That's called the Supreme Council for the Islamic Republic of Iraq, and they said from Tehran that they wouldn't participate in a conference that was presided over by an American general.
Now, what were the conclusions? There was a statement issued.
Well, essentially, the statement that was issued said that this is the first of a process that's going to take place, that's going to go quickly, that another meeting may be held, that they all voted that it should be held in 10 days' time, and that there was just hope that the beginning would be that this would be the beginning of a process that eventually and soon would lead to a free Iraqi government.
Many American and British leaders have said throughout this war that democracy is not always a tidy process, and we saw evidence of that, I guess, in Nasiriyah today.
Yeah, there's nothing tidy about this process at all. Certainly, given the stresses of post-war Iraq, the lack of basic services, the difficulty in communicating, there's still no television and radio, there's a lot of misunderstanding. And so 4,000 or 5,000residents of Nasiriyah took to the streets this morning chanting no to the U.S., no to Saddam, yes to Islam, yes to freedom. It was a very energetic demonstration, and very good in the sense that this could never have taken place under Saddam Hussein, and that people were in effect feeling their freedom. But they believe that there were no Shiites represented at this conference, and there were, and they even believe that there were no representatives from the city of Nasiriyah, and there were. So it's an indication of just how untidy things will be initially, and how great is the job to communicate the political process, the details of the political process, to the people of Iraq.
A 13-point statement was published on the CENTCOM, that's the Central Command website. One of the things it mentioned was that the Iraq must be built on respect for diversity, including respect for the role of women. To your knowledge, were any women at this meeting?
I can't say, Neil. The problem was that the meeting was held on the Tilil Air Base, which is in control of U.S. forces, a couple of miles outside of town in the desert. I'm in the city of Nasiriyah, and CENTCOM and the Americans who were holding the meeting prevented those reporters who had gathered in Nasiriyah to try to cover the meeting. There was a small pool within the meeting who were only allowed to report when they got back to CENTCOM in Doha, and that's that one flow of information that you can couple with the flow of information for me and other sources in Nasiriyah. So the truth is I don't know, and if there are indications from the pool reports, that's the only way that we'll know precisely who attended, where they were from, what was their association, and whether there were men and women.
I know that General Garner has said that I guess he doesn't like to be called General Garner these days. He is retired. But he said that his organization plans to decamp to Baghdad within a couple of weeks once the situation there has improved. And Mike, I can tell by the sound behind you there, that snarl in the background, that I take it is generators, which I would also further take to mean that there's no electricity in Nasiriyah.
No, I'm actually in a threadbare hotel room that has electricity only because of this noisy generator, and I apologize for the sound. That was lightning, Neil. That wasn't any kind of military equipment going off. But in fact, the city is completely black. I can see a light. I'm looking sort of across the city, and I can see a light here and there. But essentially, it's completely black. There's no electricity. There's no running water. There's no television or radio. And in fact, the people of Nasiriyah are pretty angry about this because fighting stopped here many days ago. And they keep hoping every day passes, that these basic utilities and services will be restored. But there's much repair that needs to be done before they can be repaired. And in the meantime, the city is without utilities.
Mike, I'm glad you clarified that. I don't know if your heart stopped, but mine did.
No, I saw the light first, Neil.
Mike Schuster.
I saw the lightning.
Mike Schuster, thanks very much for talking with us. And keep
always
dry.
Always happy to do it. I'll try. Thanks, Neil.
NPR's Mike Schuster with us from Nasiriyah, talking about the meeting that was held at the Tilil Air Base earlier today.